You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello there and welcome along to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast on Sunday, March the 5th. We're going to be taking a look at a 7-race card at Leopardstown this afternoon, due to be run on very testing conditions. It was last reported to be heavy on the hurdles course and soft to heavy on the chase course, and with significant rain likely to be seen in the Dublin area again today, those conditions are going to get worse rather than better. Highlight of the day, well, they'll probably come after racing when a lot of the big stables will be putting their final finishing preparations towards the Cheltenham Festival, of course, in just over a week's time. So lots of the press guys and the snappers will be afterwards looking around for any bits of information they can pick up. But out on the racetrack itself, well, we've got a competitive enough card, beginning, of course, with the 210, which is quite a trappy-looking affair. Quite a few of these, of course, are coming back off long layoffs. And we're just very much in the dark with the regards to Dear Carly, Orco, and of course Bon Bon O'Meal, all of which were given fairly favourable reports in yesterday's Racing Post supplement, of course, where Willie Mullins does his column, although he didn't really give a great deal away either way. So I'm probably left with only one conclusion, and that's to go with Hidden Cyclone, who at least we know comes in here in rampant form as ever. If you go back to his victory early on in the season, he lowered the colours of Rashon, who of course has been quite a controversial character through no fault of his own throughout the course of the Irish season. Of course, he got the beating of Apples Jade in that graded contest early on in the season at Down Raw, but therefore afterwards he was handed out a bad handicap mark by the English assessor, and of course he didn't take his chance at Newbury, but that form alone certainly gives Shark Hanlon's charge a major chance here. He went on to then finish third in the Fighting Fifth behind Irving, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with his performance last time out under the top weight steadier of 11 stone 10 in the Cole IE hurdle that was over this course and distance back in January. So he arrives here in great shape. We know what we're going to get with Hidden Cyclone. He's probably going to go off in front, and albeit he probably doesn't want heavy ground nowadays, at least with his fitness well assured, he's probably the percentage call in what looks a very trappy opener.
Race 2.
On to race number 2 then, which is a 2 mile 4 maiden hurdle. And all eyes will be on Broken Soul here, who bids to regain his reputation a little bit after getting beat at 4-11 last time out. Of course, he's famous for chasing home Melon the time before over today's course when he chased Willie Mullins' charge in vain. Now, for those that have backed Melon for the Supreme Novices Hurdle, and many have, you were obviously hoping for Gordon Elliott's charge to win last time out at Navan, but he blotted his copybook. So hopefully he might get back on track here today. But strictly on that form, what we saw last time out, he could well be vulnerable, and with his chin hanging out here, well, it might well be that You Cannot Be Serious takes advantage of any foibles of the favourite here. He's run a series of decent races in some smart maidens himself. He was second over today's course and distance behind one of William Mullins' called Montalbano back in December. And the form of that race looked pretty good. Back in the field was Harold Pinto, who definitely caught the eye that day. But You Cannot Be Serious then went on to run another good race himself last time out at Nace, when he looked to be in command until making a bad mistake at the second last. He could never really recover behind Midnight Escape. So there's every chance that off the back of all those runs, You Cannot Be Serious will finally get his day in the sun today. He certainly has got all the credentials, i.e., track form and the ability to see the trip out, to suggest that he's going to be very difficult to beat.
Race number 3.
On On to the 310 then, quite a trappy looking handicap over 2 miles. Well, I presume that Camlan, number 6 on the race card, won't run as he got beat yesterday at Navan, albeit rather unluckily in the latter stages. If he does turn out well, then he could obviously be a player dropping back in trip. But I'm certainly going to have to stick with that form over the course and distance here at the last meeting when Grand Partner beat Joshua Lane. And there shouldn't be a great deal between them on this occasion because Joshua Lane was coming with what looked a potent challenge at the last when he got in a little bit tight and he handed the advantage back to the Mullins runner. Both of them, of course, are proven at the track and they both go on the ground as well. So Joshua Lane, because of his model of consistency and with a slight kind of chance of turning the form around courtesy of that bad mistake at the last time out, he just about gets the vote there in the 310.
Race 4.
On to the 3:40. Quality-wise, this is probably the best race on the card without a shadow of a doubt. Identity Thief, of course, comes here trying to recapture his season or get back on track. Obviously, he was pulled up when he struck into himself behind Min in the Grade 1 over the Christmas period. And then he went and fell at the first on his next start when the recovery mission was very much expected. Whether he makes the Cheltenham Festival is obviously open to question, but he's certainly got a win here to justify any thoughts of going to Prestbury Park in 9 days' time. Because there's a little bit of a cloud over Henry de Bromhead's charge, it makes more sense to me to probably oppose him here and go with Don't Touch It, who, of course, in his own right, was a very decent novice hurdler last season. Indeed, he won the Grade 1 at the Punchestown Festival when he lowered the colours of Petit Mouchoir, Brain Power and York Hill. Now, that would make him an absolute certainty here, just on that bare bones of that form. And it's not as if he hasn't really taken well to fences. He needed the run first time out beyond Bellshill, and then he stepped up on that one, finishing third behind Bleuet Rouge over today's course. The next day, he got his just rewards for all those good efforts while lowering the colours of De Cosimo at Thurles last time out. And this sound jumper seems to have plenty in his favour here. We know he's got a touch of class. He goes well round the track. And like I say, with doubts about his main market rivals to a degree, Don't Touch It looks the percentage call there in that novice's chase.
Race 5.
On to the 4:10 then, and probably my strongest bet of the afternoon runs in the shape of Dammit from the Joseph Dulliott stable. This horse is a really decent hurdler, well, a multiple hurdler winner. In fact, he won 4 off the reel this last season. And he's done precious little wrong, to be fair, in his 5 starts over fences so far today. He's obviously been in very deep and he hasn't really been pushed in the early stages over distances way short of his best. But he did finish 5th behind Attribution and Identity Thief to suggest all the ability is there once he goes handicapping. And he certainly put that theory to good use when he finished 4th behind Western Appoint in the Tim Duggan Memorial over the Christmas period at Limerick, handling the rugged nature of that race and indeed the testing conditions. A good 4th behind a dwarf Phil over today's course and distance suggests that he's definitely improving as time goes on. And considering he had subsequent winners like Takapuna, Claire Cam and Total Recall all in behind him that day, he looks to have a fair chance off a mark of 129 back to the scene of that particular run. Soft to heavy ground, albeit not absolutely ideal for him. He has won on heavy in the past. At least we know he can handle the conditions. And with Davy Russell booked, who won on him on the last time when he put his leg over this horse, everything looks set fair for Dammit to run a big race in that 2 mile 5 handicap chase.
Race number 6.
On to the 4:40 then, which is another one of these Martinstown opportunity handicap chases. And quite a lot of regulars and old-timers are set to face the starter. No more so than last year's winner, Mr. Goodenough, who indeed did prove good enough here 12 months ago when getting the better off Crowded Room. Now, he's obviously been campaigned specifically for this race again because he's just had the one run so far this season. And that came back in the back end of January when he chased down the inform, the gate checker, who runs in the previous race, so we get a chance to look at that form. Absolutely nothing wrong with Johnny Slevens's charges run on that particular occasion. And he's got the services of Danny Hand as well on board, one of the best conditional jockeys seen so far this season over in Ireland. So everything looks set fair for Mr. Goodenough to run another huge race over a course that he likes. Well, the main danger might turn out to be Tulpar, who himself has been running in really good form. He was fourth, incidentally, to Mr. Goodenough in this race last season. So he obviously handles the track and he's done nothing wrong with his last two starts. A winner at Punchestown in a reasonable time figure and just nutted last time out by the informed Paper Lantern at Ferry House. He's likely to make the running Tulpar as well from the front. So if you're backing him, you certainly know what you're going to get from the grey. So it should turn out to be a battle between the two who were in this contest last year in the shape of Mr. Goodenough and Tulpar.
And the final race.
On to the final contest, which comes up at 5:10, which is a national flat race, of which quite a few big names have got runners in this particular contest, none more so than Dermot Weld, who saddles Wadolani. The only slight negative I could find here would be the booking of Dean Sinnott, who at the moment just probably looks as though he's still learning the ropes and he's certainly going to get better in time. But other than that, then obviously Wadolani, being from a powerful stable, should know his job and should go well. But the one I quite like here is Us and Them from the Joey O'Brien stable. Of course, same connections took this race last year, albeit it was Aiden with Aspen, Colorado. So there's a decent chance that this son of Stowaway could follow suit on his race course debut. He's certainly well fancied, judged by the market. His stable companion, High Tide, he certainly would be worthy of respect. But the fact that he comes from a sprinting family on the dam side, i.e. a half-brother to Dinkum Diamond, I'm not necessarily sure where this horse who's going to be requiring heavy ground first time out over a stiff 2 miles. So he's passed over on this particular occasion in favour of stable companion, Us and Them, who was available back around about 5 to 2 in the morning. Right, thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Good luck with your bets. And once again, we'll be back online with another look at Dundalk's all-weather card this coming Friday. So do tune in for that. Until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.